Greg Brown in the booth with you and on the telephone line with us, his weekly show, The Neil Huntington Show, and so much to get to, Neil. Let's start off with kind of the good and bad news. Tough luck loss for Josh Bell in the fan voting. I wanted to get your thoughts on how you think Major League Baseball handled it this time, all the voting, and how he came just short of Freddie Freeman. But as he told a national TV audience last night, he spilled the beans, or at least Christian Yelich did. Yelich was mic'd up on the Fox show, the game with the Pirates and the Brewers, and Josh Bell tells us that he was already asked that he will indeed appear in the Home Run Derby.
Well, there's a lot in that question, some of which I should comment on, some of which I probably shouldn't. As far as the voting goes, just want to express incredible appreciation to the fan base in Pittsburgh for their support of Josh. And while we fell just a little bit short, considering the number of voters potentially in Atlanta and the number of voters potentially in Pittsburgh, the Pittsburgh fan base, not only in Pittsburgh but all across the country, showed up strong for one of their own and to embrace Josh that way, just fantastic. We continue to hold out hope that not only will he make the team, but perhaps he'll be named as the starting DH as a recognition of just an amazing year for him to date. We still have work to do. He still has work to do, but his improvement offensively, his improvement defensively, he's turned into one of the best young players in the game, and that will be fun, hopefully, to watch him take center stage if it's in the Home Run Derby, and then hopefully in the All-Star game as well. And you know, the bottom line is they were trying to change an old system. They were trying to get more fans engaged. To me, that's up to Major League Baseball to determine how they feel it went, and do they feel it went well. Now our goal is to get Felipe Vasquez and on this club, and you look subjectively, he's got as good a pitch arsenal as maybe the top 5 or 10 relievers in the game. And you look objectively at what his statistics are, and you, especially the advanced analytics, he's certainly, again, one of the top 5 or at worst case 10 relievers in the game. So our hope is that Josh will not be alone, and we'll have somebody to go to the All-Star game with, assuming Josh makes it. Hopefully Felipe will be right there with him.
5:30 Eastern time on ESPN, the reserves will be announced. And again, after Josh Bell said that last night, the Pirates tweeted this morning, Neil, that since he is in the Home Run Derby, and again, no locks yet until we'll find out at 5:30 about whether he actually is in the All-Star game. And you had talked before about the difficulty being a general manager for any team and the All-Star home run hitting contest. You've seen players in the past, and I know now you'll just simply embrace it, right?
Well, we will, and it's good for the game. Josh obviously showed his enthusiasm on the pre-recorded snippet last night that he wants to be there, and I think he even said he's nervous because he hadn't heard anything in a while. So hopefully he will, in fact, be a participant, and I hope he goes out and enjoys it, has the thrill of a lifetime, wins it, and then comes back and hits a lot more home runs for us in the second half.
This speaks to Josh Bell, doesn't it, Neil, in terms of his personality? You know, you have to give him a ton of credit because he has embraced just about everything you throw at him, including the position change. When you signed him initially, the work that he has put in, unafraid to go out there and work so hard, not just in his hitting, but his defense. He told us the other day, we asked him about the Home Run Derby. He said, you know, maybe I'll go out there and switch hit. I've not seen that in a Home Run Derby yet, hit both right-handed and left-handed. He just really enjoys every challenge that's thrown his way.
He really does. He's very smart. He's got a good baseball IQ. He works on the right things. He cares. In fact, that used to get in his way because he cared so much that he would switch and change lanes too frequently, versus letting the things that are working stay working. And Rick Eckstein and Jacob Cruz have done a nice job. Josh deserves all the credit in the world. He's going through that next adjustment phase, and the pitchers are not throwing the same way they threw to him the first half of the first half. He's going to have to continue to remain disciplined and take walks, force pitchers to come into the zone, force pitchers to make mistakes. When he does that, he's one of the most dangerous hitters in the league, and we're going to have to carry the load behind him and in front of him to allow him to remain disciplined and patient. And he is. He's an amazing young man. He just loves the game. He loves his teammates. as our PR group was working to put that Get Bell Elected campaign together with Joe Musgrove and Felipe Vasquez. How awesome of that is that, that they jumped out there on their own time to go film that spot in a local neighborhood to try to push to get people to vote for Josh. Josh was really kind of uncomfortable with that because that he doesn't want he doesn't want it to be about him. He doesn't want the spotlight on him. He's about his team. He's about his teammates. And, you know, that Musgrove and Vasquez would jump out there and essentially volunteer to do that speaks volumes about their feelings for Josh and who they are as people as well.
Neil, the Pirates, as we finish the month of June up today and begin the second half of the 162-game schedule, this game number 82 for the Pirates, finish the month of June, Major League best 290, the 67 doubles. They're second in OPS in the National League behind the Atlanta Braves. How sustainable is this offense going forward, do you think?
As we talked in the offseason, we felt that there was a legitimate reason for optimism that we could improve productivity on 8 of the 9 spots in the field, catcher being the one that Cervelli and Diaz were the most productive catching tandem in baseball. It's hard to get better than that. But we felt as we looked around the diamond, there was room for growth. There was room for improvement on 8 of the 9 spots. Now, we haven't necessarily accomplished that. But when you feel that sense of realistic optimism as a whole, sure, we've got some individuals, Josh Bell, Kevin Newman, Brian Reynolds, that have had phenomenal first halves. And we've got some other guys that are coming into their own with Moran. Marte looks like he's starting to heat up. Dickerson back in this lineup. Adam Frazier just seems like he's one click away from turning some things around. And Diaz is starting to settle in, playing regularly, and Jake Stallings continues to contribute. So it's as a group, we feel like we can continue to push this thing forward. There may be some individuals that have some surges, or maybe some individuals that regress a tick. But this group is a good hitting group. They're learning how to get to their power, and 1 through 8, they can do some damage. And you see Stephen Brault and Joe Musgrove in that batter's box. They're up there with intent. Trevor Williams takes great pride when he steps into that box, and hopefully that's another spot that we can continue to get a little bit better, whether it's sacrifice bunt, making a pitcher work to eat up an inning worth of pitch count, or getting some hits, getting some RBIs out of the pitcher spot.
Neil, how close do you think Gregory Polanco is to returning?
Yeah, we're in a situation in that because of Dickerson, Reynolds, Marte, and Cabrera, we're able to take some time with Gregory and let him take a deep breath, let him get some of that inflammation out of that shoulder, let him get his swing right, and work to get him back. It's how his body will respond, but we are still cautiously optimistic that he's going to not only come back, but he's going to come back and help us in a big way. But we're allowed to, able to take a deep breath right now because of the depth in the outfield.
When he did come back, he came back maybe sooner than most expected. He worked so hard to return from that surgery, and initially, Neil, looked as though he was the guy almost from the very beginning, that was the player we saw the second half of last year before the injury. And then over the past maybe couple of weeks, it looked like it had been a tougher challenge for him. Is that kind of what you saw?
We did, and when Gregory came back, yeah, I think it's before anybody expected him to come back, except maybe Gregory. He had said it in his mind he was going to help this club out of the gate. I think when we had the early injuries to Chisenhall and Dickerson, it just fired him up that much more to get back that much earlier. And it's easy to argue that we didn't put him in harm's way, but it's easy to argue that he came back too soon. Gregory deserves all the accolades and all the credit in the world for fighting back the way he did, but not only to get back, but to get back and play well. Fatigue probably set in despite our best efforts to only play him 2 in a row or in rare cases 3 in a row and then get him an off day. But fatigue did set in. Some inflammation got into that shoulder, altered his swing a little bit, altered his throwing a little bit. And again, with Dickerson coming back, the timing was good to be able to give Gregory a little bit of a breather, a chance to get the inflammation out of that shoulder, a chance to get that swing right and get him back because, again, he's going to be an important part for us for the rest of this year and years to come.
Neil, we saw Keone Keller, the Pirates reliever, throwing out in shallow left field today on flat ground. He's been out on the injured list with the right shoulder injury since May the 8th. Is he coming along? And he's a ways away. He wouldn't be able to return anyway until after the All-Star break, correct?
Keone is coming along well, and from a technical standpoint, it's a little bit after July 4th. But Keone's going to have a build-up progression that he'll have to work through again, assuming he continues to make good progress. We'll have to throw some bullpens, then a live BP or two, then a rehab outing or, you know, two or three in a perfect world. So we're still a ways away from Keone, but he is making quality progress, and it's good to have his edge back around the club again. He'd been doing some work in Florida. We'll bring him back for a little bit and kind of see where he is and see where we go from there.
On the injury front, Chris Archer pulled from the game the other day after he did go out following the at-bat. He did go out and pitch a half inning and was 95-96, but then did not come out for the following inning. So he went four, a little bit of hip tightness. He is listed on the game notes information sheet today as the probable pitcher against the Chicago Cubs on Wednesday night. So I guess the Pirates dodged a bullet with him.
Yeah, we're working through. He'll see our doctors when we get back to Pittsburgh, and we'll assess him and see his availability for Wednesday. With the All-Star break, there's a chance to get him a good long downtime if necessary, 10 days to 2 weeks. Do we do it now? Do we do it on the backside of the All-Star break? Just we'll see how the assessment goes when he's seen by our doctors this week.
Well, Neil, if he does not go, if for whatever reason you decide that you don't want him to even take that chance, then on Wednesday night, we saw Mitch Keller pitch last night, so he wouldn't be available. Dario Agrizal did pitch for the Pirates and pitched well in Houston. I guess he would be scheduled to go tomorrow. Might you just hold him out for Indianapolis tomorrow just in case?
That could be an option, yes.
What did you think of Agrizal's outing?
He's not afraid. He knows what he is. He knows that he's going to keep that sinker down in the zone. He can elevate his four-seamer to expand the zone top to bottom. He's going to have to throw that slider to a good spot, and he did. He was not afraid. I mean, he took that ball against a very good club and put us in a position to win a ball game. And our early scoring helped him, but he threw the ball very well. And again, a guy that we're comfortable can come up here and make major league starts.
Neil, what can that do, an outing like that, for not only Agrizal, but for the team, kind of a rallying cry? I mean, they were just thrilled for him when he got that first big league win.
Yeah, it's a chance to have a group that cares about their teammates and a group that cheers for each other really well. They've got another guy that they can add into that mix and they can pull for him. And, again, the four innings against the Marlins, he's got to get seven outs in an inning because we don't make two plays that we need to make if we're going to go where we want to go. And it costs him the ability to go get that fifth and maybe his first major league win, maybe even get into the sixth inning there. But to then turn around and we score some runs early and he goes out and pitches effectively and gets his win and gets it against the Astros, that has to be a big confidence booster, not only for him but for those guys around him.
When it comes to that, Neil, making the plays in general, how do you think this club has done? I think Clint Hurdle said those three games in Houston might have been the best three he's been a part of since he's been the manager of this team. What did you think, and what do you think of where the club is in terms of just execution and baseball fundamentals?
Well, I think as you look around the diamond, Josh Bell is much improved. Adam Frazier is much improved defensively. Probably doesn't get the credit for it because his surface offensive statistics aren't maybe what we were thinking they were going to be this year or the fans were thinking they were going to be. Kevin Newman just continues to play a solid, consistent shortstop. Gunning at third has been good. Moran, is still the player that he is. He's going to make the plays that he's supposed to make. He had some rough plays early in the year, but for the most part, he's making the plays that he needs to make and then some. Starting to see a little bit more athleticism as he's moved around the field a little bit. Starting to see a bit more first step, but have gotten back to that solid, reliable, steady defender. We may not win a bunch of gold gloves in the infield, but that Miami inning was kind of atypical. We make errors. We try to do some things maybe beyond what we're capable of doing or need to do. But that's also, still a relatively young club, a relatively inexperienced club, and guys have ability. They work hard at it. Joey Cora does not get nearly enough recognition for the work he does with our infielders. Just tireless work with them, and guys are getting better. There's no question about it in our minds.
Brian Reynolds, one of many great stories for the Pirates this season. Neil, want to ask you about something I heard on the, I think, MLB radio this morning. They had Jed Hoyer of the Cubs on, the general manager. And at one point he said it can be difficult leading up to the All-Star break. That last week before the break can be difficult. I imagine he means, he didn't expound, but maybe I'll ask you your thoughts if you have felt over the years that it can be difficult in that, yeah, you're battling, you're the players, you want to win, but you see that kind of, to a degree, it's a finish line. For many, it's a four-day break. Have you noticed that?
I haven't done a ton of research on it, but anecdotally, it sure feels the opposite to us. It sure feels like our guys have battled into the All-Star break, and some of our best baseball, going all the way back to 16 and 17, it feels like it was those games leading into the All-Star break, the five-game sweep of the Brewers. We had a great series against the Cardinals. Our challenge, actually, Brownie, has been coming out of the break, where we've played great going into the break, and it's almost
anticlimactic.
Curbed our momentum.
To
where we've come out of the break and we've lost to a team maybe that we shouldn't have lost to, or we've lost three of four in that series coming out of the break, or two of three or four of six coming out of the break. So our goal now is to get through the end of the first half or until the All-Star break strong, but as importantly, come out of the All-Star break strong, because the reality is we're in the early stages of playing 23 consecutive games against teams we're chasing for the wild card. 20 of those are teams we're chasing to win our division and to climb over to win our division. So between now and coming out of the All-Star break, really until about 4 or 5 days before the trade deadline, we might be in the most important stretch of our season from a divisional and playoff standpoint.
That's a great point, Neil. I hadn't even thought, but it is so true. It does seem like over the years the Pirates play really good ball leading up to the break, and then kind of get that motor going has been tough following the All-Star break. We saw Francisco Cervelli is with the club again, and want to get an update from you on when he might begin perhaps a rehab, where he is in terms of the concussion. He's out on the field. He's been swinging. He's been throwing. And he was taking ground balls, Neil, just before batting practice the other day, and not just routinely. I mean, at one point, Joey Cora was actually working with him at third base. Is he getting closer, do you think, to almost conceding that maybe the best thing for him would be to step out? And I know you have said you've got to leave it up to him. It's up to him. He wants to catch, but maybe he's starting to see that that might be the best for him.
Well, the good news is that Cervi's been cleared to non-game physical activity. So batting practice, ground balls, all the work that he can do short of playing in a game. The next step will be going through the final steps of the process to try and get him cleared for game activity. But you're right, Brownie. One of the things that we've continued to talk with and Cervi's continue to be open-minded to, even though he really wants to catch, to continue to be open-minded to potentially playing other places. And Cervi's always been willing to do that. We ran him out to first base with just a couple of touch-up workouts, and he went out there and looked like he'd played there for 5 years. He loves taking ground balls at short. I think he was originally a shortstop before they converted him in the Yankees system. He loves taking ground balls at third. He loves taking ground balls at second. So he's always taking ground balls, but you're right. There's a little bit more intensity. There's a little bit more purpose. And so as we're going through this process with Cervi, supportive of Cervi, we want to make sure that, again, we put him in a position to have as long and productive non-playing career, post-playing career, as he does playing career. And we're still working through that process. But remain optimistic that things are going to go well. But we just need some time to get through this process, and we'll see where we are as we get through it in terms of when he's ready to go and where and what positions he plays as he's ready to go.
Neil, are there other players that he could or maybe has talked to that would – and it's funny because watching him the other day, it could be wrong. He did, after the game, didn't ask him specifically about it, but he seemed more upbeat maybe than in the past, that maybe he – just slowly but surely taking to this. And I wonder if he's talked to any former catchers who have kind of said what you're saying, that, you know, this could extend your career and really help your post-career life.
It's a great question, Brenny. Not one that I've spoken with Servi on as to has he asked other former catchers that have changed positions and prolonged their careers. I think in some cases it's worked really well for guys, and others maybe not quite as well as they were hoping. But in terms of Servi being upbeat, you're absolutely right. He told me not long ago that he feels physically as good as he's felt in a long time, that the body is responding, that he is anxious to get back, anxious to play baseball again and to help his team win.
Another guy that has been on the injured list, Jameson Taillon, I believe was scheduled to throw at some point this weekend. Has he done that, and is there any update at all?
Yeah, Jameson's continuing to kind of work through the challenges that sometimes come with a forearm strain, and he feels better than he felt initially, but still not to the point that I think any of us were hoping he would feel, and so we're still working through the process with him.
So no next step to report just yet?
Nothing to report just yet.
JT Brubaker, did he have a setback recently in the minor leagues?
Unfortunately, he did. He had another bout of elbow soreness, but again, not the Tommy John soreness, which is the one that everybody holds their breath on. This is more on the outside of his elbow, but again, it's a second go around. Had a 3-week no throw conservative treatment that we had anticipated would knock that discomfort and inflammation out of there, and during a throwing session he felt it again, so we'll get him a second opinion, or a re-second opinion, because he already had one the first time, but we'll get him a second opinion and go from there. But again, the positive notes are this is not typically related to the ligament, the soreness that he's having, and so it's something else is the cause of, and we'll see as he goes to get that second opinion this week what the diagnosis, prognosis, and time frame is.
And before our final break, we'll come back with one more segment. Is there anything new, Neil, on Lonnie Chisenhall?
Lonnie is going to get some follow-up MRIs this coming week on those calves that continue to be problematic for him.
Neil, Gift and Gopay was re-signed. You brought him back to the minor leagues. What's the long-term, you think, possibilities for Gift and Gopay?
Well, we've had some injuries throughout the system as well. Gift, still a tremendous defender. The offensive struggles have followed him elsewhere, and hopefully we can help that bat play better, because the defensive skills and the person are fantastic, and that's why we brought him back. He can easily go play short, second, third in AAA. He's going to go play some short, second, third in AA, kind of bounce around and be a veteran presence, because he is just a positive, high-quality, high-energy person.
I know, Neil, that the rumors will come up time and time again. The most recent one we're asked about with the Dodgers and Felipe Vasquez. So here you go again. This is a routine for you and all general managers in terms of the rumors leading up to the trade deadline. Recently, John Mozeliak of the Cardinals said that he thinks that sometimes perhaps the Cardinals, and I'm paraphrasing, have traded just to trade. He thinks that they've succumbed to that. Do you hear where he's coming from there?
I guess a little bit. I have a ton of respect for Mo and the Cardinals and how they do things, and there are times where you feel like it's a significant chance to improve if you do X. There are times where you feel like it's an incremental chance to improve, or there are times you feel like you're trading from a position of depth. And sometimes when you feel like you have an area of depth, you make a trade or two to improve your overall organization or your overall club, and you look up 6 months or a year later and that position of depth has become a position of weakness. So it is. It's an interesting game. These players are not widgets. They're not computer programs. They're not completely projectable or predictable. Guys get better faster than maybe we expect. Guys get worse faster than sometimes maybe we expect. Sometimes guys are better than we anticipated or worse than we anticipated. And so much of that comes back to the human being, the human analytic, as Clint calls it. And there's so much that we can see. There's so much that we feel like we can analyze. But then at the end of the day, it is a person with abilities and strengths and challenges. And there can be a time where trading to trade may feel like you're doing the best thing for the organization, but it doesn't always work out that way, and that's the hard part. We will continue to look for ways to improve this organization. Felipe Vasquez is, in our minds, one of the best, if not the best, young left-handed reliever in the game. He has the potential to contribute to us for this in four more years, and our expectation and anticipation is that Felipe will be closing out playoff games, be it this year or into the future with us.
Neil, thanks so much. Look forward to talking to you again next week. Great stuff, as always.
Okay. Thanks, Brownie.